Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, family, and we want to welcome you to the Us Lifting Us weekly Thursday night Dare to Win call. We're here every Thursday from 9 p.m. until 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And tonight, as always, we're bringing some vital knowledge that's essential for the cultural insights of our people and the reawakening of our people from our miseducation. And we thank you for joining us, and you can participate in the conversation. And we're here broadcasting on Blog Talk by telephone at 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789, and also by internet radio. And you can, one way that you can access this broadcast is through Blog Talk, but also by going to our webpage, usliftingus.com or www.usliftingus.com. And at the homepage, you will see at the top of the screen, Ulu Radio. And you click on that, and when it changes page, changes to the next page, you look down at the bottom with the orange block that says Listen Live. And at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you click on Listen Live. So that's two different ways that you can tune in to the broadcast and participate in the broadcast, and also to make sure that tonight, like always, we have such vital knowledge, and make sure that you pass the word to your family, to your sisters and brothers, and to go back and review and refresh for yourself that this conversation will be archived on Blog Talk. And it'll be up in the next day or two after tonight. It'll be archived. So make sure that you go back and replay it and take the notes that you didn't get during this broadcast and pass it on and to sisters and brothers, because this is some very vital knowledge. The opening music said our roots begin in Africa, and yes, it does. And tonight the conversation is going to help to add more value to our roots being in Africa from a spiritual and cultural perspective. I'm Brother Thurman, and I'm an Us Lifting Us member. And the topic tonight is the power of our NOMO, the power of our NOMO, N-O-M-M-O. And joining me in the conversation is also a loyal Us Lifting Us member, Sister Q, and she will go get into the details and take notes. Please take notes. The power of our NOMO. Sister Q, welcome to the conversation.
Peace, Brother Sermon. Thank you. It's good to be here.
Wonderful, wonderful. And family, time is precious, and we need to, there's always has been since the invaders come, war being waged on us, and it still is, and it's our responsibility to take corrective action. And right spiritual and cultural knowledge is part of what's necessary, what's essential for us to take corrective action. Sister Q, how did you come up with the topic for tonight's program?
For many years, Brother Sermon, I have been hearing folks refer to the power of the NOMO or the power of the word. What I have noticed, however, is that we seem to operate as if that power only exists in theory. And we actually are very careless wielding that power. Consequently, we speak things into existence that we do not want to have, and then we blame external forces. In reality, it's because of our loose lips that we are sinking our own ships.
Our loose lips, we are sinking our own ships. Wow. Oh, your opening statement is very deep already. So please tell us, how do we do that? How do we do that?
Okay, so let's say melanin is a very strong creative force. It is said that our word is our wand. Other groups know of our ability and put it to use for themselves because it is just what we do. We tend to make, you know, we take it for granted. So we sometimes see on television a melanin-dominant man or woman serving as the spokesman or spokeswoman for someone or something that is clearly not in the best interest of melanin-dominant people worldwide. However, that man or woman is being used as the wand to create whatever they are speaking up. The power of their melanin is being used to create the reality that they're talking about, we'll say.
Okay. And you mentioned two times in just in this last line, the word wand, W-A-N-D. For the listening audience, tell us a little something about wand.
Okay, well, we think of wand particularly as a magical instrument. You know, we would see it on what comes to me right away is like on the Disney stuff, they always have the little musician with the hat and the wand, and you tap on the wand and something happens. Or we'll have the magicians that have the wand and the hat or whatever, and they tap the wand and make something happen. So we tend to think that the wand is external. But for us, I think the wand is actually more spiritual than that. Is the word, whatever, what we say, is what is the power of creation. The wand can, the physical wand can be used as, what would you call it, a physical, a visual effect that represents what we're saying, but actually the power is in the mouth or in the tongue. But where they say the power of life and death is in the tongue, that's because your word is your wand. Your tongue is your wand. That's how you create your reality.
Thank you, sister. That is powerful. And wand, W-A-N-D family. And I love the way Sister Q expressed that. People are thinking that a wand, for example, something they hold in their hand, that the power is external in that wand. And Sister Q has given us some insights that it's about your word and it's about your inner energy. And the wand reminds me of a tool like a W-A-N-D, wand stick, is a dowsing rod. That can be a stick, but it could be something else. But people have historically thought, and I thought watching television as a child, that it was something powerful about a Y-shaped stick that could find water, and I thought it was the wishbone-shaped stick. And it's not stick, it was the person and the intent of the person and their energy. And I thank you, and people do use specific kind of trees to make wands, including the holly tree. But I thank you for giving us clarity on this whole conversation, and also to give some greater definition about the wand, W-A-N-D. Are they aware of how they are being used, the previous conversation, how we are being used? Are they aware?
Not necessarily. I think although other people spend a lot of resources studying melanin, most melanin dominant folk have next to no idea about what melanin is, what it does, and or what it can cause to happen. So it's very easy for someone who has studied melanin and knows what can be done using it to take someone who does not know, to take someone who's melanin dominant, who does not know what their melanin can do, and put them in a position to create for the other person and against their own melanin dominant self. And I think that's what we see happening quite a bit.
Good. It's powerful information you're bringing, sister. And thank you for that. And the melanin, like you said, not necessarily that people don't know they've been used, or many would, if you ask them to give 60 seconds about melanin, they would say something in your skin. But so we need to know, family, we need to know. And I remember in 1994, they had an all-African World Melanin Conference at UDC in Banneker City, or so-called Washington, D.C., with about 13 or 14 African scholars. And they got extensive into the genetics and the workings of melanin, including melanin in our inner ear, that other people don't have concentrations of melanin in our inner ear like African and richly pigmented people do.
Right.
Yes. Do you have any examples we can recognize in our day-to-day?
For sure. When you turn on your local news, and you will see some melanin-dominant man or woman broadcasting the intention of the UN, the World Health Organization, the World Economic Forum, or some other group. And those groups have no love for melanin-dominant people, okay? So what these talking heads, that's what I call them, Saki talking heads, they'll say something like, according to the World Health Organization, by the year 2030, every person in the world, well, no, not every person, let's say 70% of the world's current population will be decimated because of, and then they'll say global warming, pandemics, and some other stuff. And they make it sound as if what they're saying is a definite, is going to happen. Nothing can be done to stop it. They're just giving you a heads up so you can know what's coming, right? But that's not really what's happening. We can use our wands, our mouths, our power to create with our tongues, and we can cancel the statements that we hear on the news. However, nobody told us that. So generally, we don't do it.
My goodness, family. Please be taking notes. This is deep. So good, Sister Q. So good. You said we can use our wands, WANDS, to counsel these statements made by the WHO and UN and other folks that's committing genocide against us. That is, thank you. Thank you. That is so powerful. So how do we do that? How do we do that with our wand, with our tongue, our mind, our energy?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's really easy. When someone comes up with a statement like that, you know, like that in 2035, the world will be decimated or whatever, we should not repeat that, period. Do not repeat it, because us repeating it is what will make it happen, especially as more and more and more of us repeat it. We will talk it into existence. So instead, when we hear somebody say something like that, dismiss it. When they say something like that on your TV, say, that's not even going to happen. Or just start laughing, burst out laughing. Like you've heard the world's funniest joke, just laugh it off. Or, better yet, we can broadcast or speak out the alternative reality that we want to see and then hold on to that vision. So rather, we'll say, in the year, by the year 2035, we'll have every, you know, all the sick people will be better. You know, that all the people that want to be healthy will be healthy. People will have enough food. There will be no homelessness. Wars will be over. We could say that, put a date on it, and talk it up and keep repeating it among ourselves, and we can make it happen. The important thing is that we do not speak into the gloom and doom. We say only things we want to see happen. When we speak into things that we do not want to see happen, actually what we are doing is cursing ourselves.
Wow. Thank you, Sister Q. Thank you again. You were giving a totally different meaning of cursing than we are used to.
The words that we are taught are curse words and that we should avoid are actually considered vulgar language. And it's considered the common language, the language of coarse, uneducated people. Commonly, they're called cuss words, you know. But it's been flipped around, and now we say we're cursing. Our cursing is overlooked because it totally goes under our radar. We're so focused on the cuss words, on the vulgar common words, that we have no, we're not even thinking about actual what is a curse, you know, because they've defined curse for us as these, what we call expletives that must be deleted. So let's put it this way. I'm willing to bet that when you were 5 years old, you knew the most powerful curse you could say to another melanin-dominant person. The curse consisted of two words, and the first word began with F. It was a six-letter F word. Do you have any idea what it is?
You got me wondering. I can't pull it up right now. No.
Okay. Forget. Remember when you were a child and you were playing with your friend and things didn't go the way they were, and they would say, "Forget you, Thurman." That was good. No African wants to be forgotten. That's why we do our libations and everything else we do. That, to us, to be forgotten is a very not good thing. Okay? So, that's a curse that we knew that, you know, we don't even really think about anymore. So, when someone asks them to give us money, to give, someone comes to you and they say, you know, lend me some money, and you say, "I'm broke." When you say "I'm broke," you're cursing yourself. Why is that a curse? What comes to mind when you say broke? Do you have, you know, because for a lot of us, words create pictures. So when you say, "I'm broke," you have an idea in your mind of what that looks like. And is that really the condition you're in at the moment that you're saying that? Or is it the condition that you want to be in at some future time? So rather than say, "I'm broke," and broke is not just "I don't have money." Broke is "my body doesn't work," or other things that broke represents. So it's better to just say, "I don't have anything for you right now," rather than say, "I'm broke," because "I am" is a powerful statement, and you're making a curse on yourself. Another example is, you know, you hear someone complain that they can't lose weight because every time they look at food, they gain weight. They're speaking up a condition that they don't want. So they're cursing themselves. And these things, you know, we take all of these things so much for granted that we have to really sit down and think about it, to realize how much impact that kind of stuff can have on our body, because the melanin is working all the time to make what you say you want a reality. Your word is your bond. The melanin is working to create the reality you say that you want. So when you say, "Every time I look at food, I gain weight," it's like a directive to the melanin. Every time I look at food, the melanin gives me more weight. It could be a gram. It could be a minuscule amount, but the body is going to do what you said for it to do. So, and it's neutral and a non-judgmental power. It just is made to give us what we ask for. Problem is that we don't know that, And we don't know what to ask for. So we ask for things we don't want, which is the definition of cursing ourselves.
Okay. Well, take us further. Why is it that our words are our wands? Give us some more on that.
Okay. I think the primary reason that our words are our wands has to do with our melanin. We tend to think of melanin just as the substance that causes us to have dark skin or to have, you know, have to do with skin pigmentation, and we let it go at that. There's been a lot of resources put into the study of melanin. I think I said that before, but we can't say it too often because the people that are studying melanin do not stop, and they're constantly studying us. So basically, I think when it comes down to melanin, you would say, in popular terms, melanin is a superpower. Most of us, however, don't recognize that it is such, and we definitely have no idea how to wield that power. We can be sure that the research people that in research into melanin have realized that we can be encouraged to use the powers of melanin against ourselves. So that's what they do. They study it because, okay, you're saying that for thousands of years, these people have been battling against us, right? And in this time, they have not been able to annihilate us or even weaken us. We just keep, we just still there. So they have to study us to figure out how they can get us to kill ourselves, basically, because they have seen that they can't get rid of us. So that's what they started doing is getting us to use our melanin against ourselves.
Okay. Family, we certainly want you to be taking note of all of this powerful knowledge that Sister Q is bringing to us tonight. At this point, nobody has their hand up in the queue by telephone, and there's value in that because you are taking this in and taking notes. And don't forget, it will be archived in the next couple of days on Blog Talk, and go back and review this and pass it on to sisters and brothers. Me personally, you know, a lot of questions that come up, but I want you to continue. I've been at this point for the last few minutes, 15 minutes or so, and say, Sister Q, you need to come back and continue this conversation. This is very. How are we encouraged to operate against ourselves?
Okay, I would like to give two quotes here. I think I've given them both in the past. The first one is credited to George Soros, who allegedly said that the American black is highly emotional and therefore easily manipulated. The second quote is from a brother named Spartacus R., who some of us will remember from the music group Osibisa in the 70s or 80s or something like that. And 70s, he said that with no information, you will be killed. With bad information, you will kill yourself. With good information, you will live forever. So what we are getting is bad information so that we can kill ourselves. One thing research into melanin has revealed is that Melanin acts like a problem solver. When we perceive something to be a problem, our melanin looks for a way to solve that problem. Okay? So let's look at practical application for that. Something happens and we say, they did that to me because I'm black. Okay, so what we've just done is identify black as being a problem. Melanin, being a problem solver, goes into action to solve the problem. Now, we only basically think that our skin is dark, you know, so that's the problem. But melanin is much more than that. And it knows all of the many things, great and small, that can be manipulated in our body and our environment by the melanin itself. However, because we've identified to our melanin that melanin is the problem, the melanin begins to shut down functions, other functions that we don't even know that the melanin is doing, in order to solve what we have identified as the problem, which is us being black, okay, or me being black. So the question that, one of the questions that came up for me when I learned that was, could it be that many of the health concerns that we have that our ancestors did not have? And remember, in 1905, there was not a single case of diabetes among black people in America. So that's just a little more than 100 years ago. No black people in America had diabetes at that time. Okay, now we know what the big numbers are. So could it be that those health problems are the result of us identifying being black as a problem and causing our melanin to stop functioning properly? It's every time we create an excuse as to why we can't function in any given arena, we cause the melanin to shut down. And again, we don't have a clue as to what all the melanin does, but we know that there's melanin in every part of our body. As you mentioned earlier, the melanin in the inner ear.
Yes.
Could that, you know, cause some of our imbalances, because balance is controlled in the ear. Do we lose our ability to hear in the way that we can hear? Because, let's see, I think they said if you give a hearing test to, white people, Asian people, and dark-skinned people, the highest level of hearing on the test that they give is the black woman has the highest, the greater ability to hear. Then comes the black man, then the Asian woman, then the Asian man, then the white woman, and then the white man. So if we shut down our melanin, if we're saying that, you know, being black is our problem, and we cause our melanin that's in our ear to not function as well or properly, then we would wind up possibly hearing at the same level as the white man, right?
Yeah.
Which means we've lost a great deal of our ability to hear. And in addition to that, since the tests are generally, the standard for the test is basically the white man. So
mm-hmm.
It would not even show up as anything abnormal for us. It would be, oh, you hear as good as white people, but that's not our standard. So I think that's one of the things that happens when we say that such and such because we are black.
Wow, there's some good information there, Sister Q. That is some more good information. At the 94 World, All African World Melanin Conference with a dozen plus sisters and brothers presenting, one of them spoke about melanin and the inner ear. Her name is Ann Brown, so you can look her up, Sister Ann Brown. And I thank you again just in that segment about the melanin, and you elaborated further about the inner ear. And historically, we've had Africans, and I believe there still are some, including the Twa, TWA, and the San, SAN people, that could hear something or someone coming from a mile away. But their melanin, they have never left the land and the earth and the universe. And go right ahead.
Now, I was thinking also, too, about our vision. Our vision is much is more keen also, too, than, like, Europeans.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the reasons that we tend to ward more vibrant colors, because we can see that. They tend to... Not those vibrant colors tend to be problematic for them. We'll say it that way. It's like sensory overload for them, because it's just too much. Our melanin can modulate it, you know, can make it, makes it work for us.
Okay. Tell us, how do we honor the power of our Nomo?
I think the most important thing to do is to stop picking up whatever others are putting down and running with it. So I would say don't speak up anything you don't want to see actually happen. Everyone except us, apparently, knows that we are the ones who speak things into existence. So this realm is created as a paradise with an abundance of everything that we need. We have to know that, and we have to live that. We do ourselves a great disservice when we go through a list of not enough, you know, because that's what we are exposed to on the television. They tell us, you know, it's not enough food, it's not enough oil, it's not enough water, it's not enough air, it's not enough land. They keep telling us it's not enough, it's not enough. But that's not what we created. So we have to stand, we have to know what we created and stay with that and always speak up what it was that we created. And we created enough for everybody to have plenty, and nothing would ever go out. And so we have to know that for ourselves and live that reality. And what I have learned is that we can we can live that, well, let's put it like this. We say our word is our one, so I can create the reality that I think is real with my tongue, right? So what I can say that there's not enough water or there's not enough whatever, doesn't matter. And I can repeat that and I can live, I can make that my reality because that's what I think is really going on, right? So I will live as if there's not enough water because to me, there's not enough water. You, on the other hand, will say, well, there's an abundance of water, and you will live in an abundance of water. And which one of us is right? We're both right. We are each creating the reality that we think, well, the reality exists in our head. So we each are creating to the outside what we believe on the inside. I guess you could say it that way. So let's say we don't want, the people on the news are saying by the year 2030 or 2035, or they always throw it like some part 10 years or more out. I think that's the standard program. You've got to be 10 years or so out, and they'll tell you in that time period, this is what's going to happen. So when they tell us don't pay attention to that. What you do is you sit down and decide what you're going to have by 2030 or 2035 or 2040, and you focus on that. And if that's what they want to create and other people want to create for themselves, they could do that, but it doesn't have to have anything to do with you.
Wonderful. Well, thank you. Thank you, Sister Q. And once again, I'd just like to add that you are giving us some African deep thought there, some knowledge that we really need to make standard in terms of how we use our wand, our tongue. And I'm reminded, tonight, on the Us Lifting Us Facebook page, there's a 2 or 3 minute piece about a sister that was aware that at some point in our lifetime, I think she's still on the scene, there was a severe drought in a part of Africa, and I believe it was South Africa. And it showed a rain dance that she did. And when she did it, it started raining, and it hadn't rained for a long time. And she's just one of our historical and lineage that knew the power of our wand and our tongue and being able to set intentions, and she was able to get it to rain. And I brought that up because you're just bringing forth so much for us to connect with. And we need you to keep on bringing this. The book of Sister Q is powerful tonight, and we need some more of your books. And in the last couple of years or so, we've talked. I'm going to ask you this. It seems that the Ulu Cultural Centers would be a great help with teaching us about melanin and the power of our Nomo. What's your thought about that?
I think you're absolutely right about that. And I agree with you that we need places where we can study ourselves and discuss what we learn, places where we can focus on bringing what we desire into being. I think the cultural centers would be ideal places where we could actually study melanin and what it does, and teach each other encourage each other to make the melanin operate in full effect, we'll say. So the instance that you gave just now of the sister doing the rain dance, so that we could, if we needed to, cause it to rain, or the instances where we know that external forces are manipulating the weather and causing, you know, catastrophic weather events, that we could use our power and control the weather or neutralize the effects of the things that they're trying to do with the weather. So I think the Ulu Cultural Centers would be a very great addition for our community, so that, because to me, Ulu is as much as Ulu is for economic empowerment, there are other things included in that economic empowerment to me. And so the ability to counter all kinds of attacks on us on many levels to me is included in that. And having the cultural centers where we could talk about these things and figure out what we're going to do, how we're going to. And you like, nothing is for everybody. So there will be people in Ulu, I think, who will be very excited to work on that. We'll call it spiritual aspect of creating the reality, and other people who are more excited about the physical stuff and the monetary stuff. But there's a place for everybody, even though nothing is for everybody, I think.
Good word, Sister Q. Thank you. And you mentioned countering the things that the other people, the so-called conquerors, the invaders, countering their mindset. It reminds me of Sister Ancestor Frances Welsing, that when she was on South Carolina TV with Lisabel Middleton, all the time, she and Lisabel, as they were talking about black people, and she emphasized that when it comes to the chessboard and using it as how we operate our mind, which is in line with what you talked about, and you talked about countering. Frances Welsing would often say that we need to get our minds on the black side of the chessboard and be positioned and knowledgeable, of course, that so that whenever the ones on the white side of the chessboard made a move towards us, that we would counter their move to keep them from checkmating us. And when you use that word counter and you talk about the Ulu Cultural Centers, we would come together and be teaching our people about melanin and the power of our nomo. Then we have the knowledge and be able to use our power that we already have to counter the destructive processes and whatever that's being directed at us, whatever that might be. And I thank you so much for bringing all of this good information to our people. Please with regard to standards and clarity on, and it's so good that you brought clarity on the difference between cussing the family. If you didn't catch that, go to Blog Talk in the next couple of days to the archive that will be dated November 30th, 2023, the power of our nomo, led and inspired by Sister Q. Go back and review this and capture this. And Sister Q, I invite you, encourage you to put down more about standards and the things that we should and should not do. And if they say, and some of us say, well, they're attacking us because we're black, or we can't do it because we're black, if we counter it with the proper words, and don't buy into it, as you said. Mm-hmm. And family, we still have a few minutes, and Sister Q's got some more to bring us up if we stay for the next hour or two. But if you got any questions or comments and you want to give Sister Q some praise, you can reach us by telephone at 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789, and press the number 1 on your keypad. And Sister Q, as the time that we have allotted winds down, what else did you want to bring forth tonight?
I wanted to, you mentioned that we should not say that things are happening to us because we are black. I think if we're going to be honest, I think, instead of saying that that person said what they said because I'm black, you say that person said that because they're stupid, or that person did what they did because they don't have good sense, or, you know, put it on the person that's actually doing the thing, not on yourself. And mm-hmm. I think, because what we do then is we make ourselves a victim of that other person. We're mm-hmm. saying that it is, you know, we are to blame, and we are not to blame. That idiot did what they did because they stupid, you know, and I hesitate to say that we should teach our children to respond in that way. You know, but maybe that's what we need to do. Teach the children to speak up and say, you know, if somebody says something derogatory toward them and makes it about their skin color or whatever, it should be okay for the child to say, you know, you're just stupid. And don't internalize, because actually what we're teaching our children is to shut off their melanin. That's the point. We're teaching the children to internalize that is something wrong with them, that the melanin is what's wrong with them. And because of that, they'll shut their melanin down. And do you think that that has something to do with why our children now are not as smart or as capable of some of the things that we were at, you know, at their age? So that's one of the things that we need to have that conversation at the cultural center. How do we instill in our children the right to defend their melanin, or to encourage them to, we'll say, power up? Because we're saying the melanin is a superpower. So how do we them to power up, how to keep their melanin operating their full effect? And I think that's something we haven't done. You know, it's, you know how people would say such and such a thing, they make you sick. Or somebody will say, you make me sick. Well, okay, then that's a curse now, because I'm saying I'm going to be sick based on what you just did, okay? Now, I had an aunt, and she would never say that. What she would say is, it's enough to make you sick. But she never would say that it made you sick. And to me, that's the difference. We don't distinguish or fine-tune the use of our words like our elders did, or like our ancestors did. Yeah.
Yes.
So it's a lot of. Go ahead.
Yes, and I'd like to say in the Hulu Cultural Center's classroom, and we'd have a green board or some kind of board that we could write on and write our thoughts as others are talking. We would need to just write our thoughts of how we can, on the high level, respond to negative words, expressions by others, and there's higher levels that we can. And one of them for us in the cultural center to discuss is silence. And the ancient Africans were very much aware of what's called silent power, and you can look it up. And it's been posted somewhere recently, and there's a depiction of a jackal-type figure, and it might be by the name of Thoth, T-H-O-H. But there's an image that shows part of the headshot of the jackal-type figure, and it says, I master silence. And there's a level that we've had ancestors to rise to, that if they were called ugly, it wouldn't move them a bit, because they were secure in their spiritual intellect, their spiritual sanity, and it wouldn't move them a bit, and they may say nothing. Because when we respond, it can either uplift our emotions or bring them down. But if we are strong in our spiritual clarity and cultural clarity and all those kind of things, we can reach a higher level to where we have mastered silence. And yet, in that silence, it doesn't mean nothing is expressed. It's just that the communication would be in the form of what's called silent power. And that's another is nonverbal communication, as well as you can communicate with a threatening person, being animal and whatever, butterfly, and never open your mouth. It's a communication, nonverbal communication. And years and years ago, a book was written about Aborigines in Australia. To make a long story short, one of the Aborigines was miles away. It could have been 10 miles. And he sent a message to the group about a kangaroo that he wanted to bring back that was very, very heavy. And anyway, the group received his nonverbal message, and they directed him as to what to do about the kangaroo. And a few hours later, he showed up with the kangaroo on his back. But they had received the message, and they gave him instructions on what to do in terms of how to transport this kangaroo that they were going to eat, and it was all nonverbal. It's in a book called Mutual Message. Sister Q, please give us some closing words, and please come back and do some more, and give us the various things that you said about how we should properly respond the people certainly would benefit if you come back, when you come back, to give us, you know, just more verbiage on that, and even a book, a pamphlet or something that would give them even more on greater clarity on how to properly respond. And certainly we invite you to come to the Ulu Cultural Centers once we open it up, because we need to have them all over. Wherever our people are on the planet, we need to have these cultural centers. And we certainly would need to have Sister Q there.
Thank you for that, Brother Thurman. I think you gave me a thought about the power of silence. So
yes.
Can we, and again, this is a discussion that we could have, is it better to cancel out the negative, to remain silent and cancel out the negative, rather than putting it out? Okay, because I said it's not because we're black that this is the problem. The problem is the other people are ignorant. Should we not just call them ignorant and just leave them to what they are without calling them what they are? So, all of this is stuff that we can tease out among ourselves. And we've been on the planet long enough, as you say, that we've already been through all of this many times, I'm sure. It's just a matter of remembering how we handled it in other times. Because for those in the United States, we are programmed to think that we had no history before slavery in the United States, or no history before whatever, 1619 or whatever. That's when our history as a people began. So we totally negate everything that happened before that. I think as we study more about what happened before 1619, and even some of what happened since 1619 up until today, we'll find out that we've been lied to about a whole lot of things. And actually, we have processed the same kind of information successfully before.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we.
So I think that's one of the things that is, it would be beneficial for us to be mindful of.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. Family members, Sister Q, we thank everybody. We thank everybody in the listening audience by telephone and by internet radio that are silently taking in this knowledge. Don't forget, please, please, please go back to the Blog Talk archives in the next day or two and replay, record, if you didn't do it, the power of our NOMO presented to us by Sister Q, Ulu member Sister Q. Go back and review it. Pass it on to our sisters and brothers. This has been another vital conversation with us lifting us Thursday night Dare to Win call. Please pass it on. Sister Q, please come back and give us some more. And this has been a powerful conversation. And people, go forth into a calmness and go into a deep, deep, divinely protected sleep in the Garden of Peace. And let the spirits put you in touch with the power of our NOMO. Thank you.
Thank you.